I'm going from here up to the Lake District, wedding tomorrow, back Monday, go and pick Pluto off, come back. Next week, best friend Sarah's hen do, but I'm going to have to stay up till midnight on Friday because we've got the two new episodes of Doctor Who and I don't want to miss it. And then the week after, if I've got money. My only problem is this payment I have to do Birmingham Pride as well, like, and I've got to pay 500 quid off my holiday. So I'm being...
Payday loan.
Payday loan. That is the worst advice.
Hey, you showed me a picture of you wearing your wedding suit.
Yeah, I did. You know, so you look like... I look rotund. It's too
you
big.
You look like you were going to work at Shuttleworth on Carrow. Work experience with Todd from Carrow.
Oh, well, don't. I'm panicking about this wedding. So I've got like a black suit and I thought, then I've got it for funerals. Then I can have it for like any kind of occasion. And the suits that I have got, which you're not going to see behind me because my room is an absolute tip. I've got like the sparkly one that wore for the Gaydio Pride Awards. And I got rid of like this mint green one and like a purple butterfly one last year. And my navy one doesn't fit me anymore because...
You like a crumpet.
Yeah, I do. I do. So I bought this and I got it from Deb and Hams. Two lovely ladies.
Do you mean Deb and Hams?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Hashtag spawn. Hashtag ad. Hashtag it could be gifted.
Any more hashtags? So I put it on.
Something.
Yeah. And my problem is with it, I think I've gone one size too... the trousers I put on first, really comfortable. I'm like, brilliant. I'm going to have a really comfy wedding. Because that's the worst thing about formal wear. Mm. It's really stuffy, really close. So I was really happy with the comfortable trousers. And then I get a suit and it's like a size too big. So I feel like I look like I'm wearing my dad's suit.
Can't you nip to the tailor's?
I'm not paying for it. I've already paid
you
enough
for this
wedding.
You know what? This is where having drag friends comes in handy because give them a little thing and a little sewing machine.
Mm.
Come on.
But as we know, I'm homophobic, so I'll never
entertain
that
idea. There is that. Yeah.
Roll the titles. Fancy another pod with Bally Singh
and Brett Harris. A Gaydio original podcast. Oh, was that our little pre-chat? I just thought we were having a natter.
It's all been recorded, darling. Nothing is safe. This is not a safe space, this podcast.
Oh, God.
Well, welcome, anyway, to another episode of your Fancy Another Pod, where we dissect... Well, to be honest, it's become 20% of the podcast. We dissect all the reality TV.
We do need to apologise, actually, because last week there was no episode.
Look. Now, I know that it is unprofessional for a workman to blame his tools. But we were let down last week.
No, we were let down. But you know what? We let down ourselves.
We did. We should have stuck to what we know, taking risks like that.
We are never, ever having a drink on the pod again.
Right. So I think it's a comedy of errors, really, with last week's pod. And I'm going to explain for our like faithful listener what actually happened. Well, obviously,
our one faithful listener, which is Ash from the Trails. Oh, and Bex.
Honestly, our social algorithms are fire because of those two. So we obviously decided it'd been a bit of a tough week for us both last week. And we just wanted a little bit of sauce, didn't we, to carry us through the pod. We thought we could get a little bit giggly because we were a bit worried that we're a bit down in the dumps. And we also...
And it was your birthday.
And it was your... we'll have a bit of a drink. Couple with that, we found out that Adobe had launched like this new podcast studio function where it records in much higher quality in real time and you can edit and move things around. It subtitles everything. And we thought this is brilliant because that will make making the pod so much quicker and more efficient.
Your life a lot easier.
My life. So, you know, as much as you'll probably hear Bally say, get in that edit suite, I got in that edit suite and the edit suite failed me. So we couldn't bring a pod. So we had possibly one of our most chaotic pods ever. If you've seen the video on our socials, I probably look at that at least once a day to cheer me up.
It was bad, actually. I couldn't breathe. It was like having a permanent asthma attack. I couldn't breathe. Like, I remember thinking my ribs were hurting. Like, I thought, oh, okay, this is what a workout feels like.
Couple of rib ticklers on last week's pod, but it's like it's like a vintage Michael Jackson track that's like locked away in the vault. It will just never be unearthed until like one of our untimely demises. So that's why we had no pod last week. So
I know it's bad, actually. Really, really sorry to let everyone down, because we're all about the consistency. We're all about doing things and getting it done, but we have to hold our hands up and apologize.
So we will be putting out a notes explanation as well for those that have abandoned the pod since last week. We've drafted something. Just speaking of notes, because a lot of pop stars or celebrities do notes when they're wrapped up in a scandal. What celebrities, had we had access to iPhones back in like the 70s, 80s, 90s, do you think what scandals would have been addressed using notes?
George Michael, when he got, caught shagging people in a park. And he was like, you know what? Yeah, so what? But I think he had the best response to that. And he just did that song, didn't he? Outside. Fuck the notes up. Do a song. Make it even gayer. You know what? When Jerry left the Spice Girls, that could have been a note.
That could have been a note. What do you think she would have said?
Oh, that day. Well, she would have said the exact same thing, but just with the date and time and a Wi-Fi signal in the corner of it. Do you know what I mean? You know when celebrities put notes up, I love it when it's like a screenshot and you can see the time and the Wi-Fi and what network they're on and what battery they got. It's really intrusive, but I like it. I feel like I'm delving into their life a little bit more. That's really creepy, I know, but I don't care.
There needs to be more sort of notes app action, I think, in real life. You know, when I've pissed off my family, or if I'm not coming on a family holiday or something, and I need to give my explanation. Hello, family. Sadly, I won't be joining you on the holiday this year because I've decided to go on a holiday with another family, my platonic wife's family. Do you know what Charlotte was just stated that I called her the old ball and chain?
What does she like to be called?
Well, Charlotte, but it's basically I was referring to her. Who was I speaking to, actually? I said I was pretty much in a
The other woman.
Well, I said I was kind of alluding to the fact that I was in like a platonic marriage with Charlotte, because obviously we live together. I have a dog that we co-parent.
I've had one of them, and it's really comfortable, actually. You know what the best bit about having that kind of person in your life is doing the big shop with.
Yeah,
the big shop can get really lonely when you're doing it on your own, but having like a fake wife, it's really lovely.
It is. I mean, we used to do our shop, our shopping together, like we'd have the same meals and stuff. And it got to the point that she would want leek and potato soup, for example. And I would want maybe, you know, chicken fajitas. There's no meeting in the middle on those two meals. You can't have fajitas in leek and potato soup.
You can't have chicken in the day.
And beef at night. Potato soup in the night. So we decided to go separate ways on that, but we still shop at the same time. But I'm I'm a wizard in Lidl. And I think it's because I've worked there before. So I'm like, I'm going there. I'm getting my bread. I'm going there, getting my veg. I'm ch-ch-ch-ch. Charles, a bit like, she'll go over to the milk and then she'll go back to the veg and stuff. And
Charlotte, what are you playing at?
She's a daughter. She's a daughter. I'm methodical. Like,
okay, you know what I am? I'll go through every aisle.
I
snake
love that.
It round.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do it all. Do you do like every aisle front to back, or do you do aisle, and then the other aisles are the aisles? Do you know what I mean?
Just up and down, get everything you need, and away you go.
Okay.
The only frustrating thing for me is a lot of shops have their bread towards the front.
They don't.
Lidl. On the left when you go first.
True.
Aldi have got it on, actually. That's always on the last aisle.
See, I do like Asda's setup. I think Asda have got it spot on. The bread right in the corner. And it's strategically
the bakery.
They do that. So, yeah, so it wafts to the front. So it makes you want to buy.
You've got to battle earth, wind, and fire to get to your loaf of bread. I get that.
What's your favourite supermarket?
Okay, so I don't include Waitrose, Booths, or M&S in the Big Five.
We're going for the Big Four here. Yeah.
The Big Four. I've always been a Morrison's girly.
No!
So our local shop here...
really disappointed me there. Morrison's pisses me off because they lay it out like it's a market. Grow the fuck up!
I was going to go on really to say
about this. Who? No, I'm on one now.
No, you've not let me finish. You've not let me finish with Morrison's.
Go on, say your piece. Say your piece.
I've always been a Morrison's girly. I used to go there with me nan growing up. Morrison's in my hometown. Morrison's around the corner from where I live now. And they did up Market Street, implemented loads of like street food stuff. So they stopped doing the breakfast, which I did like, on the takeaway counter. And then it became like a grill. They had like a curry counter, pizza counter, milkshake counter, a veggie counter, like loads of different like weird indie shops down Market Street. That was open for the best part.
Hold
of
on, do you
months.
Mean like Market Street in the
in Morrison
in Manchester?
No, okay, in Morrison's, yeah, okay, called like Market Street. And they closed out all the bakeries and stuff like that, and then just made it all like this kind of independent like market thing within Morrison's. Mm-hmm. Within 6 months, closed down. So now we've just got this big Good. Open space in like Morrison's, and I feel let down. So now it's Asda around the corner at the Trafford Centre for me. You've got the McDonald's there, and I'm just getting a quick burger on the way home. Okay. Do you know what I mean?
So as an elder, I haven't been to Morrison's in yonks. So back in the day, it used to be very much like what you just said, like Market Street. What it pisses me off about Morrison's, why open with the fish counter? Why do that? It's an offence. Disgusting, actually.
Ours doesn't
Horrible.
Have one. Ours doesn't have one.
But the ones that I've been to, you open with the fish counter right next to the fruit and veg. Then, you know what pisses me off as well? The outfits they used to wear. My mom used to wear that when we were little. And she, her first role in Morrison's was hanging up the bananas.
Oh, so she works
hanging
there.
Up the bananas.
Yeah,
like hanging up the bananas. No, and she used to dress up like fucking she worked at a market store. Like, grow up. I'll tell you what one thing Morrison's has got going for them. And I'll always.
I'm just thinking of someone listening to this.
No, this is good. This is good podcast content. But one thing Morrison's will always have, and it'll always bring me back. Bloody salad counter. Look, oh, stunning.
Who? Where? Morrison's.
Yeah, the salad counter.
It is quite.
Pack it up, pack it in, literally. Yes. Shove it up. Take an elastic band with you. Pack as much as you can in, tie it up. I love it.
Do you know what? Speaking of salad counters, Pizza Hut. Now that is a salad counter. I know it looks messy.
Thousand Island sauce with some croutons. Oh, give it me.
Pasta in it. You've got like grated carrot that tastes so sweet.
And it's the only place where I'll have beetroot. Look, normally I'm not a fan of beetroot.
When was the last time you had a Pizza Hut? I feel like it's been years, but I love it.
It's been years. I mean, I've had a Pizza Hut, but delivered. I've not been to a restaurant in yonks.
Well, we've got Birmingham Pride coming up.
Right.
I'm saying little midday Pizza Hut before we go on.
Look, if we have a midday pizza, I'll be napping. I can't look. If I have a heavy meal, I'm going to snooze. You'll notice that Birmingham Pride, I hardly eat, because if I eat, I'm gone.
Monday after Birmingham. Bank holiday Monday.
Nice.
Right, okay, that's the plan. Thanks for staying with us. Let's.
That's a bit of a shit choice, though. There's places to eat in Birmingham, you know.
I know, just really fancy. What, this little salad bowl and barbecue? You can make your own pizza.
You know what we should do? We should find a harvester. Come on. Giving me that look as if just. Oh! You've never been to a harvester?
No.
Right. It's a pub, but the salad cart, fresh bread rolls, nice little floral little butter things. Oh, it's stunning.
Right, this week you need to reach out to Harvester. Explain what's
Make
just happened to
you.
Make
this into a little clip. Tag Harvester, you and me live from Harvester doing the pod. Oh, they used to do this thing called a kicking chicken. It was like basically just like a leg of chicken.
Yeah.
With some chips, whatever, but whatever. Salad bowl, bit of chicken, pint of Coke, let's go. Gorgeous, actually.
No, I can imagine. I love nice icy Coke. Like at a pub.
So, yesterday, I went to see the Joe Lycett show being recorded, and once you're in there, you can't have drinks. You're allowed to take a bottle of water in. And obviously, I was just like a guest. I wasn't like, part of the guests that were on the show. And I bumped into Miles from the Traitors, and he was like part of the entourage that were part of the show. Come out with a really cold ice can of Coke. I've never been more jealous in my life. It's like, I really want a cold can of Coke.
Well, I tell you what you need. A cold
Well,
can of lemon Coke.
yeah, I've not tried it yet. I can't find it. I can't find it.
It's
Is there like, have they
sorry.
got an exclusive deal with the supermarket or something? Because I can't find it in
B&M's,
Tesco or Zainos.
home bargains. Get yourself to Homey B's. Oh my God. Get it in the
Right, okay.
fridge. Get a couple of ice cubes. Plop, plop, plop.
Right.
Three in like a small
Doing it
glass.
today. Doing it
Just
today,
wait.
actually.
Just wait.
You know what I've been thinking about? Because I've had a bit of a busy week. I don't know how people do things after work every day. I've done social things after work almost every day this week. Fucking knackered I am. I don't know how you lot do it.
I
I'm
spent 2 days
shattered.
in the Lake District this week with one of my colleagues, and I have been here, there, and everywhere.
I'm on a downward spiral, actually. But you know what? It was my birthday last weekend. Had a really lovely time in
Oh,
Manchester.
yeah, how
Had
was
a bit of
that?
a shit birthday. No, I had a bit of a shit day of birth because I was stranded in Manchester and I ended up having to get a fucking Uber home. Look, I was going to come and see you, but you were bloody doing the Gaydio Academy. And I was like, look, I look a mess. And I was like, little, the worst thing that these kids could possibly be see is what I can only describe as the honey monster coming to say hello.
And now, kids.
You could be this.
Do you know what? What I will say is, I did do the Galileo Academy, and it was a bunch of kids that came from a school who were part of the school's Pride Club. And the teacher came, who was amazing, and he runs like the Pride Club at school. And these kids absolutely love him. And it was a group of kids, and we went around the room and introduced ourselves, and they were open about the gender identity, the sexuality. And I just thought, imagine what that would have done for me as a kid. Like, that would have been a real lifesaver at times. Like, people just like me in school, I probably would have flirted with the idea of going to it because I think, oh my God, I'm like them, and at least I'm not alone. And I think a lot of the time for me when I was at school and stuff before coming out, it was like, I don't want to be judged. I feel like I'm the only one that is this. And I think it's like all eyes are going to be on me. Whereas actually, so many people have come out since school and college that you actually think, okay, I wasn't the only one. And maybe if there was other people there. So it was really nice, and they did like some podcasts. I taught them some podcasting skills, and they made some podcasts.
A lot of people, you can get really sucked into the way social media is sometimes, that people are like, oh, the kids, you're teaching the kids this, you're teaching the kids that. And it's like the whole thing about being woke and how being woke is like really ridiculous. But
Well, the thing is,
there's
if you
nothing wrong
go
with being
woke,
woke.
you go broke.
No, but in all seriousness, being woke is nothing wrong. Look how like the kids are so open and free to just talk about how they want to talk and be who they want to be. And there's no judgment, or they don't feel scared, or they don't feel pressured. And obviously, it's not every kid is fortunate to have that kind of experience, but it's so lovely to see. It's like back in my day, you'd never have this. We barely had a bloody drama club in my school.
And
It's lovely. It's fantastic.
it's frustrating for me that a lot of the narrative is that we're encouraging children to be a certain way, but I actually think what we're encouraging people is that those who are that way is that it is okay to be that way. Think certainly for men, suicide is like one of the biggest killers, and to go deep on the pod, like, and I'm not equating that to because of people's sexualities, but there will
No,
certainly be a
but there
percentage
is,
that is
yeah,
involved.
definitely. Because I think like male suicide is stemmed from childhood trauma, and childhood trauma comes from not being able to talk or not being able to discuss things or bottling things up. And now that children have those safe spaces to do that, we're going to see a decline in the rate of suicide and a decline in the rate of suicides for all people. And it's just a lovely thing. Like, and people always mention like a 10 to 20 year plan, and things are slowly going to start to get better just because people are woke. That literally all it is. Let's steer on from that conversation, because today, this weekend, it's beginning. I Kissed a Girl, BBC Three, Danny Minogue, and Charlie Marlowe. I love this.
Charlie
I
Marlowe
think
is
it's
just
the best.
amazing.
Because last year, Leighton Williams, he said he wasn't going to do it because he didn't feel right because it's a show about lesbians and girls. And he was just like, nah, it's not my place to do the voiceover. I don't know why I never even thought of Charlie Marlowe, but when it was announced, I was like, oh my God, of course. The best casting ever. Her voice, it's just, I mean, we've only seen the trailer for now, but perfect fit.
She first came to the Gaydio Pride Awards, not last year, the year before, with Hilton for the stay. And since then, she's gone from something like 10,000 followers to like 100,000 followers. She's here, there, and everywhere.
Yeah, I think this is going to be like the start of something massive. I can see her doing a panel show. I can see her doing like big things. And I'm so happy because she is just really normal and she's just up for a laugh. And she, it doesn't seem like she's very like, oh, I'm a celeb. You know how like some TikTokers, when they start getting something and they start like making it, they become a bit of a dickhead. She's not at all. And I've seen like some clips of her at the premiere, like hugging Danny and the girls, and it's just really lovely. And you just see that she's really enjoying it. So very happy for her. I mean, we want her on the pod, but she's booked and busy. So we'll try, but I don't think we're going to get her.
Come on, Charlie. Come on. So we have the return of I Kissed a Girl, very well, return of I Kissed A in the first series of I Kissed a Girl, so very excited for that. We'll be covering
be
it
talking
on
about
the pod.
That next week. Can't wait
Bring it on. And then we've also heading into the later stages of Race Across the World.
Oh, loved it. I you know what I love now, like we're getting into the middle of the series. And we're really getting into the nooks and crannies of like the relationships between each contestant and their partner. Like the mother and daughter relationship. Oh my God. So Eugenie and Isabel, they're like really butting heads. And you know what I love? That's normal. I feel like everyone's kind of got that relationship with their mother sometimes. And it is very, like
sometimes,
me and my mom.
All the time. Me and my mom
like,
are bickerers.
Yeah. Me and my mum are like friends. We're always bickering. I love her to bits, but she can be a right knob.
But do you know what? I think it's a sign of being truly, truly comfortable with someone. Like I bicker with my mum because I know that I can put that there's no boundaries. Like, so we can go and go and go. And then if I'm upset, she's there. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, and I think they are a true example of that kind of relationship. Who are we thinking is going to win?
Okay, I'm not saying they're going to win, but Stephen and Viv really shocked me this last episode, you know. They, out of nowhere, from like the very bottom of the list, won the whole bloody thing at the, on that last bit of race.
They shocking. Knew what they needed to do, and they did it. Yeah. They achieved
yeah,
it.
Yeah, they did. But you know who I was really lovely to see, actually? Owen and Alfie.
Yeah.
I feel like at the start, I'm not saying they were hated, but watching them, I felt really stressed. Every time they came on screen, I was anxious for them. But I think ever since like they've opened up a little bit more, spoke about their mom, and we don't know what the story is with, I don't know which one's which, Owen or Alfie, but he cried on camera last episode talking about his family and how important they are to him. But I think after they've got that off their chest and they're just enjoying it now, and I'm enjoying watching them now. So it's really lovely to see.
I think what was clear with them from the start is that they're almost setting themselves like, this is what we have to be, this is what we have to do. And kind of alluding to what we were talking about on the pod earlier when it comes to men and the way we're kind of taught about emotions and suppressing them, and we have to act a certain way. And I feel like we're always taught to put on this act from the beginning. And when those barriers are broken down, and we've seen it at Married at First Sight as well with Tim, and I know you've not been watching it, but as soon as those barriers are broken down, they become much lovelier people, and it's because that they're not so pent up and reactive.
Well, the same with Betty and James, the brother and sister. They kind of spoke about how as a family they're quite closed off, and James obviously lost his money belt, which might have lost his passport, and it was all that really high pressured kind of scenario. And Betty was with him, she's like, look, just calm down, it's fine, it's totally fine. And he like broke down in tears a little bit, and you could see he was trying to suppress it and like not sure that he'd been crying. And so just let it out, Bab. Just go on, cry. Yeah. It's a really high pressure situation. They're literally racing across the bloody world with a budget. They don't. No one knows the language or whatever. Just have a little cry. I think it's really important for someone like him, who's really quite masculine, quite laddie, to like have a little cry and be like, "Look, It's all good. Let's keep moving on. Really lovely to see. I'm really enjoying watching them as well. And at the start, I really wasn't like with them. I was like, oh God, whatever. But yeah, I think we're in the halfway bit of the show where we're starting to see actual emotions and people aren't remembering that they're on a TV show. They're just letting their guard down a little bit more. And it's really nice to see.
We need to move on to Hunted. I know we've not had any episodes in the last couple of weeks, but I've been reading some reports this week that Channel 4 aren't commissioning the show to be filmed this year and it'll now be next year. And it comes off the back of the fact that this show that has just been aired was filmed 2 years ago. It was supposed to air last year and then it didn't air this year. And we've still got Celebrity Hunted in the bank. So it looks as though rather than having two series in the year, it'll alternate 1 year between being Celebrity, 1 year between being civilian. And we know Channel 4 is in a little bit of trouble at the minute financially with shows being cut and reduced. What do you think it says about the show and the sort of wider industry at the minute?
I think it's really shit, actually, because these are the shows that we love. And I think our TV habits are changing. And I think that shows with shows like The Traitors, it shows with shows like Race Across the World. We like seeing reality TV in a way which isn't like your average thing. Like, I think we've all got so used to things like Love Island, and TV execs are like, this is what the people want. So let's do more of it. No, calm down. We like to be gripped. We like to have a show once a week. We don't like to binge watch everything. And I think this is where Channel 4 shot themselves in the foot, because Channel 4 used to be really good at shows like this, but I feel they've thrown so much money into like dating shows and shows like which are quite American. And look, we like our shows the way we like our shows. And I think it's gonna take a while for them to kind of bring it back. And I've never really watched Hunted. I've accidentally watched it through Gogglebox, and just it's been on TV and I really liked it. Also, at the same time, I imagine shows like that do take a lot of time and a lot of effort to make and
And
build,
therefore
and
money.
there is a lot of money as well. So I'm not mad at that it's gonna be on for a couple of years, but I think when it comes back, it needs to be really good. And I
And I
was like thinking like Race Across the World as well. That must take a lot of planning and a lot of money, but they're doing it right.
Agree. And I feel like we've become accustomed sometimes with shows like this to have this yearly schedule. And I've said it a few times on the pod. I don't think we need I'm a Celeb every year. I don't think we need Britain's Got Talent every year. I think we need, and same for X Factor. And I think this is what kills shows because it becomes formulaic. We become to rely on it. And because it becomes
Look,
comfortable, we don't want to watch it. We don't feel the pressure of watching it. But to be
perfect
honest,
example is RuPaul's Drag Race. The UK series, look, the last series, as much as I enjoyed watching it, I feel bad for the contestants because they're not getting what they deserve or what they probably expected to get. If you go back to season two of RuPaul's Drag Race, every contestant on that show has gone on to do fabulous things or had a career. And it's slowly dwindled, and it's based on how you use the platform. If you don't use the platform, you're nothing. And this is what's happening with shows now. Like, no one's asked. And I think we're in such a way where we're like, oh, we'll stream it or we'll binge it, or we're not really asked to watch it live anymore. But that's where shows like The Traitors and things like that are so different, because it's gripping. We want to watch it and it's getting people talking. And we've missed shows like that where people are like watching it live so they can talk about it.
We've become so used to this kind of formula that I think it is killing shows, or TV isn't like it was. So in the streaming age, let's make things exciting. While we're thinking about TV and exciting schedules, Christmas on the BBC is going to have Doctor Who,
Oh, here we
it's going to have
go. Here
Wallace
we
and Gromit,
go.
and it's going to have
Look, I love Gavin and Stacey.
I fucking love Gavin and Stacey.
I kind of always pretend I hate it just because, like, it impresses people on the internet. But I do. I can't
Right. So I've got to speak out on
wait.
this. And I think people hate on James Corden because of the vitriol. I think people see people hate James Corden and then they hate James Corden because it becomes popular. So when he does something, it's like, oh, he's this, he's that. What has he actually done? What has he
He's
done?
meant to be. No, there are rumors he's a bit like Ellen and he is a bit nasty. I've never met the man, but from what I've seen, I quite like him. And I'm sorry, if Adele likes someone, I like them. I trust Adele. In Adele, we trust.
So I get that Ellen DeGeneres had a problem with the way her show ran and probably the way she spoke to people and creating a toxic environment. I don't think anything that becomes as big as a show like that, or anyone that becomes as big as that, isn't creating a toxic environment. I think working for Beyonce will be a toxic environment for some people. Mm. Working for Lady Gaga, I absolutely love her. I think will be a toxic environment for some people. I think to be at the best of your game, and the team that you work with all have to be at the best of their game. And I do think it creates like this toxic environment. And I think that's where, and now I think we're in an era where people now speak, and rightly so, call out problems. You know, we've seen it with Lizzo recently. You know, I have no doubt that some of the things that the people have said have happened, but I think people are allowed to go so long unchecked and aren't managed, they become bigger than being managed. And we see the same with Madonna. She turns up 3 hours late or something for her gigs and stuff. And it's just that shouldn't happen. But when that person is the star, like the show doesn't happen without them. So I can see why sometimes egos go unchecked.
Yeah. No, I think you're 100% right. I think with James Corden as well.
They become victims of their own success.
Biggest show in America. And I think Americans just do it differently anyway. Like, I think the way that they make shows and the way things happen, it's totally different to this country. And I think he had to change his ways to fit into that kind of world.
Mm-hmm.
And he picked literally his whole life and moved over to America for what, best part of 10 years. I don't think he's done that much wrong. Yeah, he's probably had an off day and been caught in a restaurant. I think that was one of the things. But he has made some fantastic TV. Like, Gavin and Stacey is one thing, but just even on the James Corden show, those carpool karaoke, some of the best moments that we've all enjoyed. And I'm sorry, but like I said, if Adele trusts in you, his besties with Harry Styles.
What happened? Come on, what happened darling. In the restaurant? What was that story?
Something about he like made an order and he was very rude to the staff or something. And then it was just weird. It's like, look, I try and make it a point to always say thank you and always be really polite, especially to waiting staff and people that work in restaurants and cafes, because I've been in that position before. But sometimes you're just having an off day, and sometimes if you know your order comes wrong, you are just a bit pissed off.
And also,
and I think when you're a massive celebrity, you can't always be on. You can't always be switched on.
And I also think the pressure of hosting a show live across the biggest country or one of the biggest audiences in the world, you know, like, I get a bit stressed when I'm maybe presenting backstage at Birmingham Pride. Like, so I might snap a little bit sometimes.
You snapped last year, I remember, but we ain't saying that on the pod.
Yeah.
I remember.
But
no, you're right. You're right. And you know what? Gavin and Stacey, if you don't like it, if you're not a fan, don't watch it. Fuck off.
I also think there's too much killjoy as well on the internet nowadays. I still am of the mindset that I probably did my worst ever digging tweet that I've done in like years yesterday when I called radical optimism radical floptimism. Come on, darling. Come on.
I've not listened to it yet, so I can't have an opinion.
There's some real bangers on there, some real gems. It's just
so you lied. Doing it. So you lied. So
it's just not. It's just not doing it for me.
So you lied. It's not a flop then. So you lied. You tried to impress the gays. It didn't work. You lied.
Look. I'm going to say something, and then I'm going to go. 98% of people look on your computers. Don't all sit there and believe the woman that sat there all demure.
Come and take him, yeah.
I do feel like there is this thing online, and sometimes I think it's with anyone that's even gathered a little bit of negative press. I think when someone does something, we all collectively jump on it, and it can't be nice. I just think, well, just shut up. Just stop buying that person's product. Stop engaging with it.
Literally,
you don't need to go to the point where you have to be nasty to someone, because they will read it. Any celeb that says they don't go on Twitter and don't read it is bullshit. Anyone that has access to a phone is reading exactly what you're saying about them.
Also,
and it doesn't matter if they're famous. It just makes you horrible.
If they've done nothing wrong, it's like people love to jump on the most minute thing. And this is where, like, the whole cancel culture thing comes into play. It's like, can we just all calm down? Can we all just take a little step back and just think about what we're actually angry about? It's fun to make memes. It's fun to have a little laugh. But sometimes you really have to step back and think, oh, shit, I'm actually being really mean here. Like,
and I have to be honest, if you're tweeting some stuff that's just nasty, like constantly going for people, talking about, I even think people will still write Twitter threads about Jessie Nelson and the fact that she might be a flop and stuff like that. Like, it's actually a little bit unhinged behavior, like psychologically, to be like, I'm going to go out of my way to just be nasty.
Yeah. It's fun to make a little meme. It's fun to make a little reference. But to kind of dedicate your whole online presence. This is why stan culture is really strange. Like, I get it if you're like 13, 14 years old. But there are grown adult men arguing about Dua Lipa and Taylor Swift. It's an album. It's a project of songs that they've worked hard for. They've enjoyed it. Their fans are enjoying it. It's gone to number one. Who gives a shit? Who gives an actual shit? Honestly, tell ya, darlings, but go and stream Cabo Car because it's the album of the year. No chance.
Oh, stop.
Oh, no, silly. I'm very silly. No. Fuck Taylor Swift. No, I'm joking. I love her. I do love her. Actually. No, I do love her. Oh, I love it. I do. My Taylor Swift playlist has been getting some bloody numbers this week. I love her. I'm sorry.
It's okay. Should we do this again next week?
I know. We're going to... Look, I hope people enjoy our random nattering about supermarkets and random little, you know, curveballs to whatever. But I've enjoyed having a natter, and I'm hoping other... I hope Bex and Ash have loved it too. I'm friend of the pod, Shantan.
Yes. Right, let's do it again next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Fancy another pod with Bally Singh and Brett Harris. Nagadia Original Podcast.
Now, guess what I've got £15 gift card for?
Well, go on.
The Dining Out gift card. And
right,
look at that logo there.
Brilliant.
We're going to Harvester, baby. I'm going to be honest. I've interviewed Sadiq Khan and Andy Burnham. And I'm getting myself around the mayors, around the Metro mayors. and
Laura Kunzberger, yeah.
Both really nice. Well, I'm not a Tory, but they're both really nice. Really, really nice. Sadiq Khan, every time I had a conversation with him and I've thrown a curveball at him about LGBTQ plus rights, it's like straight away just had the answers. Just like knew exactly what to say. And I'm thinking that is someone that gets it and is in tune. And same happened with Andy Burnham. Andy Burnham's so calm. And I feel like there's so much toxicity in LGBTQ plus,
you know what it
life
is?
Debates now. And they come kind of remove it for me.
They come from working class backgrounds as well. And it always shows just how their approach to life is. Like, don't want to get too political, but there's some politicians out there who have come from a lot of privileged backgrounds and they don't know how to talk to people. They don't know how to answer questions. It's very, you can see it's very rehearsed. Mm-hmm. But like you can see politicians who have come from working class backgrounds who have really like made an effort to work for the people.
Like Margaret Thatcher. For me, I think she was a really underrated politician.
Give me that milk. No, I'm glad she's dead actually. Oh.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.